Welcome to Roadcase, the podcast that explores the live music experience. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Josh Rosenberg, and I'll be taking you on a journey through in-depth interviews with performers and key people in the industry to explore the magic of live music, how it can be totally transformative for both fans and performers, and we'll look at how they take it all out on the road. It's going to be a great ride, so here we go. Okay, welcome back to Roadcase, everybody. This is Josh Rosenberg. This is my podcast called Roadcase Podcast. I'm so glad that you're all here for this part four of the Newport Folk Festival series of in-person interviews that I conducted at the Newport Folk Festival that took place in Newport, Rhode Island on Fort Adams on July 28th through the 30th, just a few weeks ago. This is a really spectacular episode with interviews that feature interviews with Mariba, Jerry Douglas, Jupiter of Jupiter Aquas, and the Harlem Gospel Travelers. It really demonstrates the diversity that's present at Newport in its artists, genres, backgrounds, various musical styles. Each of the artists brings something that's unique to the festival, and that's kind of a hallmark of Newport folk. Really excited to have you all here. If you're here for the first time to listen to Roadcase, welcome to the Roadcase family. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. I know you're all going to love this amazing episode. There's a number of different ways that you can get involved in the Roadcase community. Really easy ways to follow us on the socials. We're at Roadcase Pod on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also email me with questions, comments, just to say, hey, would love to hear from you. My email is info@roadcasepod.com, and you can visit our website, roadcasepod.com, as well for more information on the show. Great way to support Roadcase and super easy. So I'll tell you how to do that. If you can do that right now, I'd be most grateful. It's a really great way to follow Roadcase. You can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform on Spotify. Right there at the Roadcase homepage, there's a little box that says follow. It's as easy as clicking that on an Apple Podcast. There's a check mark up in the upper right-hand corner. Just go ahead and click on that and you can subscribe to the podcast that way. Also, if you can rate and review the podcast, that really helps out the show. So while you're there listening and enjoying this episode, if you're on Apple Podcasts, you just scroll up a bunch, you'll see some stars and a place to write a review. It's right there. You know what to do. And on Spotify, there's a little box with some stars underneath that follow box that I talked about. Just as easy as clicking on that. So right off, we've got the amazing artist Mariba. She grew up in Philly and in the South. She's now LA-based. She's with Interscope Records, and her music is sort of this folk soul hybrid. She's a singer songwriter, plays guitar. It's just what really grips me about her music is it's so multifaceted and really kind of straddles so many different worlds, which is why I find her music so enthralling. She plays at a variety of different festivals over the course of the festival season, and at Newport, she was really captured by how the audience is such an intent listening audience, and she really enjoyed that, not to mention the fact that she learned guitar originally just by playing folk music and admiring Bob Dylan, and it's just really amazing to have her at this festival. I was so glad to be able to sit down with her. This was my last interview of the entire festival, so just wanted to give a heads up for that. It was kind of fun that way, sort of brief, had a few minutes with Mariba, but I was really excited to chat with her, and folk festival folk review was in the was playing on the quad stage in the background with Phil Cook and Robert Ellis, among other guests, and at the end you'll hear a little bit of the sounds of Elton John's Crocodile Rock, which I found kind of amusing. Mariba will be on a Western tour in October. You can visit her website for more information on that. So glad to have you all here, and I'll come back to talk a little bit more about Mariba and introduce Jerry Douglas that's coming up next. So here's Mariba. Mariba, welcome to Roadcase.
Thank you.
I'm so psyched to have you here. And your beautiful pearl snap. You're looking really awesome. And that's a vintage, too. Oh, wait. I was going to say Joby Riccio is here. She's a folk singer. And
We were talking about just going vintaging in Nashville, which is like a cool. Then you find all the good Pearl Snaps, but that where'd you get that?
I got this in LA. I got this in a thrift shop. I don't remember which one it was because I was kind of on a little spree that day, like stopping at all my favorite thrift stores. And
where did you go to Melrose? Is that happening anymore? Because I grew up in LA.
You so, did?
Yeah. Cool. I grew up in the Valley, Sherman Oaks.
Oh yeah, yeah. Cool.
So when we were like in high school, we'd go over to Melrose. And it was like the '80s, so you'd like that's where you get all like the good '80s wear.
I think they exist there, but they're also Chris. She's more from there than me, but it's like. More expensive over there now. It's not.
Yeah, I bet.
It's more.
Oh, it's like
the duck-off spaces
the,
that
like,
are have the deals and.
Yeah,
it's like okay, pay $100 for this.
Bougie thrifting.
Yes, bougie thrift.
Yeah, where do you go?
So, well, I can't tell my thrift stores. That's kind of the thrift code.
Yeah, what general location? So
it's generally
Central
in
East
Silver Lake.
Okay, you
Echo
can say
Park
that.
East.
No one's going around and like people know anyway. But I get you, though. I feel you on that, however. I would not give away. I would not give that away.
One of mine got found out, man. It was a sad day.
And all, then all your shit.
TikTok must have found it. All my stuff was gone.
No, are you fucking with me? That seriously happened?
Yeah, like because if you tell too many people about a thrift store.
Right.
They only have a finite amount of magical things.
Right.
So.
Not that we don't want everyone to have nice things.
We do,
but
I have to be thinking about
only if,
very
special only if
things.
You get there first, then they can... Only if you get there first does it work.
That works.
Yeah, yeah. But you didn't grow up in LA, though. You grew up in like Philly, and then you worked your way down through the South.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then how'd you end up in LA? Wait, and your mom's from, your dad's from Ethiopia. Your mom's from Milwaukee. I live in Chicago now.
You do?
I love Milwaukee. Do you visit
you
there?
You love Milwaukee? That's cool. Yeah.
I mean, love, you know.
I love that. Because it's like my family's from there. I've been going there my entire life, you
really?
Know. Yeah, but...
I used to date a woman that lived in the Third Ward, so that's a nice area. Like I was like down
nice.
There, and it's close enough so that I can always go to see music up in Milwaukee. I love the Riverside Theater, the Pabst.
Yeah,
Summerfest just happened.
Summerfest is really cool.
I didn't make it up there for that, but it's crazy though.
Yeah,
isn't like a fun? It's like Midwestern towns are cool, right? I mean,
I love not,
Midwest, wait, maybe cool's the wrong thing. They're enjoyable and mellow, and you know, there's like a down homey kind of vibe to it that you don't get in LA.
Definitely.
Right.
And same with South, but it's different. Midwestern and Southern are different. But they both have that sort of their own charm that's very distinct to those places.
Yeah, right.
And definitely more chill. Like, every place has its things. Because I feel like native LA people are really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's really just all the people who, weird people who came.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm native LA.
Exactly. Yeah, native LA people are cool, but it's the other people that kind of mix it up.
Yeah, there's hardly...
Which
every
is
time
me.
I say I'm from...
Sorry.
I didn't even put that together. But every time I tell someone I'm from LA, half of the time they're like, oh, I've never met actually a native Los Angelian.
I know. People's minds are always blown.
They do exist. They've all gone away.
They have.
Your music's wonderful.
Thank you.
You have such an amazing voice. And you're on Interscope Records now. How's that been going for you? What's the biggest difference in being like independent, you know, doing the indie world and then being like, I mean, clearly there's a heightened resource level to that.
Yeah, there's support.
Yeah.
There's support. That's really the difference. I mean, I've always been blessed to kind of like find supportive people around me who believe in me, despite if anybody else cared at all about what I was doing. But it hits a little bit different when you can realize certain aspirations, you know, with your art.
Uh-huh.
Like do certain things, tell certain stories. So those sorts of things. Visuals are really important to me. So that became something that I could express myself through. And
oh, how does that become better when you're with a major label?
You just have more resources to make those things.
To do visuals. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and pay people fairly for it. Not just like, hey, can you do me a favor? You know, just...
Right.
So all of those things.
So basically, boys, you're tired of your friends giving you a hard time. And
well,
not
just,
paying them.
It's
now
like at a certain point, you want those friends to, you know, elevate too. And it's nice to just kind of like have... resources and support,
right.
But you can find it in different ways. Not
I feel
just
like things can sometimes like go the other way around, where people are like in like a major bubble, and they can also kind of be not feeling it or not have the freedom to produce your own stuff. But that sort of went that it's all kind of lining
really
up for you and going
attention.
In that direction.
I never really had that attention level where it's like this is what you're gonna do. It's kind of like do your thing, and we'll see how it goes. Which
oh, so
been,
you kind of like a play it by the, on the moment kind of person and just kind of move
no,
forward?
No, just like I'm very, I know I came to the label with like a distinct sort of sound already. My album was finished, my first album. I had already put out music before.
Yeah,
that.
Right, so exactly.
It was just, you know, that sort of, it was like, we like what we've seen of it and how far can you take it and let's see, you know.
Yeah. Like that. Is it based in LA?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Let's talk about, well, how do you categorize, like, you're a rapper, producer?
Yeah. Rapper being first is funny.
I'm not putting it first. I'm saying it. It doesn't have to be in order. But you put it in order. How would you order it?
I would say.
How would you order it?
I would say singer-songwriter. Okay. And then and then producer. Uh-huh. And then every now and then I drop a 16 on them.
What does that mean?
A 16 bar rap verse.
Oh, okay. I don't know the lingo that well. This is Newport 16. Folk, Mariva.
That's why I held it by it. Yeah, I sang my folk.
I'm not trying
today.
To be cool by saying that I know things that I don't know. That's the key to being a good interviewer, frankly, is like, you know, I don't know everything, but I'm willing to ask.
16. Uh-huh. A 16 is a rap verse.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Lesson learned.
There we go.
Yeah. But you're here in Newport Folk. So yeah. What's that significance for you?
It's really big, actually. It's a big significance.
Big.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. I really came into being a songwriter, which I would probably actually put that one first in the list. Huh. Like being a songwriter is my number one sort of passion of all of the different, you know, channels and avenues. So I fell in love with that through folk music because I was learning guitar in high school, like early on in high school. And I had a teacher who just taught folk music. Like that's how he taught music theory. That's how he taught like rhythms and strumming patterns, finger picking, those sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So much of my foundational background on guitar was like folk background.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of how things start out?
Yeah.
In guitar.
Yeah. And then, ooh, it's loud.
This was a folk review.
Oh my gosh.
We're not going to hear it that much in the back.
Okay,
we'll just hear
it
a little bit in the background.
Okay,
so just
cool.
Like, it's not going to be a thing.
Perfect. Okay.
They just won't be able to hear us anymore.
Right. So I learned about this festival. I mean, it's legendary. It's been around a long time. Like, so I heard about it because I was really into Bob Dylan. So like I was just on my mom's computer with Bob Dylan.
Awesome.
And I loved his lyricism and I loved his storytelling and I loved the way he kind of advocated for people through music. And I feel like that carried me through my career so far. And then I finally ended up playing here and it's really full circle for me.
I think it's kind of neat how people are always learning guitar through folk music, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't matter who
natural.
You are, where you come from, you know, what you look like. It's like you pick up a guitar and you're going to be, you know, folk or country.
Exactly.
You know, it's like three chords in the truth, right?
I love that. You know, is that a saying?
Well,
you just made
Bono said that at the famous Red Rocks. I forget what the name of the album is.
Hit their famous album? Famous album?
Live Red Rocks performance when he's like,
cool.
All you need is a guitar, three chords, and the truth. Anyway.
I love that.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Oh, I'll share all day. So there is a folk music tradition. So, you know, I'm feeling that vibe. I'm feeling like the songwriting and you've done some rapping, let's say that.
Yes.
Okay. You're in that world, the collab world. I've listened to your stuff. You can't, you know. And that's cool. It's great. You know, I love that combination and that's why you're here.
Thank you.
You know, guitar playing, songwriting, you know, it's about live performance and it's about, you know, the importance of Newport going way back.
Yeah.
How have you been received? How did you feel? Talk to me about your set. You were on the Harbor stage earlier today.
I was on the Harbor stage earlier today.
Yeah.
And the crowd was beautiful. And what I loved about it is they were really listening. You know,
it's a very intensive audience here.
Yes. And we very intentionally made the set because, like, you know, we've been doing our summer festival run and we have all different sorts of shows. We played Montreal Jazz. We played a festival in Toronto that I would say was more like R&B, hip-hop. We kind of do that. We just bounce around genre-wise and space-wise. But this one, like I said, was really important to us because we all kind of have a background in that more folk space, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we knew we wanted to do a different kind of set here. We put together a set that consisted a lot of older songs of mine that was from my first project I ever released, which is independent, called Room for Living. And as soon as we got into those songs, it was almost like a different energy went through the room, and we just kind of settled in together.
Do you think it's because they were more relatable, kind of?
Yeah, like, I feel like...
you got to know, you do have to know your audience.
Exactly,
like,
right?
You know more than, you know exactly. that better than anyone.
Yeah. And, you know, the first few songs just had, like, tracks, and that's right. a lot of my sound, but just to strip it down to just guitar, bass, and violin, or guitar,
yeah.
and piano was, like, it was a really good moment in the set that I think... kind of carried it, and I got to do so many songs that I never get to do, or like I rarely get to do, because I don't have enough time to do every song
oh, that's
from every
cool.
era. Yeah.
Would you tailor your set ordinarily, like if you're when you're like doing a headlining tour
for a particular location
or whatever?
Yes. I will, but it's more based on mood than the location.
on your mood.
Certain audiences that I know, yeah, like I have certain songs that I'm going to be real, like I still have my protest song background, so I have certain songs that I have certain songs. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
I have certain songs that just will go up more in certain in certain places. So like if I'm performing in certain places, I might do my songs that might be a little more aggressive, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then a place like here, I might do songs that are just a bit more vulnerable because the people are like listening,
yeah,
and
listening.
I want to share that part of myself.
You want to be heard too.
I want to be
right?
heard too.
Yeah,
it felt good to just be.
And you were talking before about when we were just talking about guitar, how you want to get your message, and it's a way. The songwriting for you was a way of getting your message across.
Yeah.
Does that change from style to style for you?
No.
Because you're almost a tiny little bit of a chameleon. You can be in different kinds of styles or genres, if I may.
Yeah.
It doesn't change.
Yeah. No, I think the through line is always just it being very intentionally sharing wisdom that I learned from something. Like,
yeah.
I don't really like to just say to say. It's usually something that a reflection that I gathered from something that really affected me. That is
right.
the spark of all my songs. And yeah, I try to like, not be positive because I can't be positive all the time, but just I try to like share something that might help someone else, you know, save some time.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of it's about inclusivity.
Yes.
And the issues with intersectionality.
Yeah,
I like when you talked about Black History Month. Like, why the fuck do we just have to talk about it in February? Okay, those aren't your words. That's what I was saying. And I've said that before, too.
Wait, when did I talk about Black History Month?
There was some, I was just reading, and that was it. It was it was a good comment about, like, why do... Okay, yeah, it's February again. But, you know, it should be every month.
Well, I think the reality is, like, if you want to learn about things or people that... Like, we have so much access to information, so I just feel like my personal life is Black. There's always Black history that I'm learning, that I'm living, that I'm experiencing. But anyone can experience anything that they would like if they put the energy behind it. So
Yeah.
Well,
your person's given me the sign. We gotta wrap up.
Person.
We gotta wrap up. And
my person.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here, Maria.
Thanks for having
me. You're very sweet.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. Thanks for being here.
Yes,
good continued success, and we'll see you next year at Newport.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah. Last interview.
Cheers.
There you go.
Oh,
thanks so much.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Hey, that was me and Mariba having a nice chat in the media tent. Such a wonderful human. Really enjoyed talking to Mariba. She's a songwriter first and foremost. You know, she's got this folk soul hybrid that I talked about at the top. It's just absolutely enthralling. I really love her music and really fit into the Newport crowd. You know, that was her first time here. She said she loved the audience. They were really listening. And that's really the vibe at Newport. People are mostly seated, sometimes not, depends on the artist. But always listening very intently, which really fits into the way what Mariba says, what she likes to get across. She says she says that she doesn't like to just say that it's, she says it's generally, she's reflecting from something that really affected her. So she really likes to roll her sleeves up and talk about herself. And it was just a really amazing conversation and just a great set. I also love to hear her little thrifting tips in Los Angeles. I enjoy doing that, and I totally get that she didn't want to give away all her secrets. You can catch Mareeba out on tour in October. She's playing a ton of Western dates. You can visit her website for more information on that. Thanks so much to Mareeba for being on Roadcase. Next up is Jerry Douglas, Dobro guitar master and bluegrass ambassador. He is a producer, musician, and 15-time Grammy winner. His most recent Grammy coming for producing Molly Tuttle's recent album, Crooked Tree. He is also part of Alison Krauss and Union Station. He is a prolific player. Has played on over 1,600 albums, apparently. That's a random factoid. I did not count them all, but I believe it. He's played with everybody. He's played with notable artists and bands such as Eric Clapton, Paul Simon, Phish, Dolly Parton. The list just goes on. He's at Newport with his formation, the Earls of Leicester, who played on the Fort stage just prior to me talking to Jerry. The Earls of Leicester's mission is to promote the legacy of bluegrass legends Flat and Scruggs. The Earls of Leicester's self-titled 2014 debut also won a Grammy for Bluegrass, Best Bluegrass Album. And their 2018 release, Live at the CMA Theater, is just a stunning example of bluegrass at its finest. But all that said, Jerry's just a super fun and down-to-earth human, and we had just a rousing conversation. It was just outstanding. I know you're going to love that. I'll come back after Jerry to talk a little bit more about him and introduce the next interview with Jupiter and Aquas. And here's Jerry Douglas.
Yes.
Mr. Jerry Douglas.
How you doing?
Am I getting that right? Did I pronounce that correctly?
Jerry Douglas.
J.D.?
JD's good.
We've been having some amazing laughs, and I already know this is just going to be hilarious. Because
maybe they'll transfer somehow in the cosmos.
You think?
Yeah.
But it's the third day festival effect, isn't it, Jerry?
Yeah.
I mean, you haven't been here. Have you been here all weekend?
I've been up in this area playing in different places for 3 days. So yeah, I've got it too.
Well, this is a lifelong affair for you, but like third day of festival, it's a lot. It's very social. That's the thing.
Well, there's a lot of waiting is the thing.
Is it?
There's a lot of line standing at festivals to get in line for your food.
For an artist of your stature?
For your food. Well, we got a dressing room.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff. People ring stuff there, but.
That was my point, Jerry.
But. Okay, I forgot about those people. That's terrible.
Gen Pop?
Man, we had such a great time today, though. That was a huge box for me to check in my life.
Yeah.
Was to play that music here at Newport Folk Festival.
Right. Amazing.
Huge box.
I was busy here doing my thing, man. I wish I could have come over there, but I've seen you play before, and I so admire your playing. You're a 14-time fucking Grammy winner, which, like, what?
It's 15, actually.
Can you talk to your publicist about updating the information?
Obviously.
14, 15. I mean, at some point, right? Do you have a bookshelf that's big enough?
I don't like looking at those things. I really don't.
Freaks you out?
I want to move to somewhere where I don't have to look at them. That's really bad. That's it's not a bummer. I mean, it's cool.
Get those accolades out of my face.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just stop now. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Stop being good, Jerry.
Give it up. Retire. From what?
Well, let's talk about one in particular. I mean, since we're on the subject, we're talking about traditional bluegrass. Earls of Leicester forms in 2013. Your self-titled goes out and wins a Grammy right away. What number was that one?
That was 14.
Oh, that was. Was that special in some way? You get a new formation and you come out with a self-titled, and that one is.
You know, there's a bluegrass category. And so we still have that, you know, for the Grammys. There is a category where you can actually win a Grammy for playing bluegrass music.
Yep, there
and,
is.
And so, yeah,
is that
and
a
the
new,
last
sorry,
one
is that
I
a,
got was Molly Tuttle's last record I produced.
For producing.
So I got one for that. But it was so cool to play, to record this music that we love, all these guys in this band. And the first thing to happen was it wins a Grammy. Now, that you want to just, okay, they got our point.
Yeah,
you
know? Right.
And the point was to inject Flatten Scruggs back into the bluegrass mainstream because it had disappeared. Mm. So now everybody's wearing
hats. Look at what you did.
They're wearing hats. They're wearing the ties. They're playing Flatten Scruggs songs.
Yeah,
and it's, you know, everybody plays a Flatten Scruggs song if you're a bluegrass band.
Yeah,
but we did them exactly like they did
the way they did, you know,
with the same tones and same old instruments and stuff
and the old timey garb too, right? As I understand.
Yeah. It's so geeky. It's totally geeky.
Did you go and do the nudie stuff and that? Is that what it's
no,
all about?
No, we didn't do it. No, it's just this plain, you know, they didn't wear anything too glitzy.
Yeah, I figured.
At all. I mean, they were pretty subdued.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Next to like, Ray Price and the Cherokee Cowboys, you know, with these blazing,
I'm not familiar, but like
dresses on the back of their jackets. Cool. It was just nuts. Nudie would, he made a fortune off those people.
Yeah, I bet. I like the stuff with like all the fringes and things like that. And that's like, that's like super cool stuff. And like the death. And now I think Goose went and played the Ryman and got some nudie stuff too. Like if you're going to play the Ryman for the first time and you can afford it, like go out and get some cool stuff. I would do it. I like fashion.
So. Nudie's son-in-law actually is the guy that's took over. His daughter, he married Nudie's daughter, and that's who Marty Stewart gets all his stuff from. That's where everybody gets their stuff from now.
Oh, okay. A hot tip. Hot tip coming in hot.
So yeah, Nudie's no longer.
To get the music of Flatten Scruggs out there once again, so are you? I can infer that there was a dip in that kind of before you came out there, but where I'm going with this is, of course, the headliner today on the last stage is Billy Strings, and we're going to get there. I mean, what he's done for bluegrass has been amazing. I'm a big fan of jam grass, progressive grass. I love Green Sky. I love your fellow steel guitar brethren, Anders Beck,
who's one
of my favorite players of all time.
You know, I just took a look around the whole scene, and there was no one doing that. You know, they had all progressed. They thought
when you say that, what is that?
The Flatten Scruggs thing with fewer microphones, you're not plugged in, and you're doing choreography on stage. You're moving in and out of microphones, and people go diving down the middle. You don't see them coming.
Yeah.
You can lose an ear, you know?
Right, because there is a guitar that makes you about 4 feet wider, right? Yeah. So you are. Who did I see in that Old Town School of Folk? I saw Del McCrury.
Oh, my.
Play with his sons.
Golly.
And
that's so great.
And there's a beauty in a ballet of rotating around the single mic. It's really beautiful. I love it.
Del has held on to that old way of doing it, too. He doesn't have any monitors on stage anywhere.
Oh, shit.
Just hear each other.
Just get...
Stay close.
Right, right, right. I mean, that's something you can't do with electric guitars, but I mean, well, I guess you can in a way.
Yeah, ears make things possible now. I mean,
inner ears. Yeah. Once you inject the drums into the whole thing. I think that was... So we were talking about the noise over here, the music that's in the background,
right.
Remy Wolf. We were joking about Pete Seeger, like you came in here and was like, let's turn this off. I'm like, oh, we're going to have a good Pete Seeger moment with Jerry Douglas. But
give
I think
me that
he said
axe.
He said at the time, like, it's the goddamn drums. Once you inject drums into the equation, it brings all the rest of the volume has to go up. And then it's just kind of like competing. No, I got to turn up higher. I got to turn up higher. I got to turn up higher.
Well, he was right because he played acoustic only. So, you know, it is gradually going around to like the sounds of the pickups and everything are getting so much better. You can plug in and sound acoustic now.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and play to a bigger audience without all the feedback that a microphone gives you. When it starts that cycle,
you've got
nothing but a rolling feedback. So,
well, it's also the matter of the other players hearing you play, and that becomes way more complicated when you're amplifying to an audience.
Are all on ears. We're all on ears. We have no monitors on stage.
Yeah, when you say on ears, you mean you're not using anything, or
we're not using any monitors on stage. It's all in-ear monitor.
The in-ear monitor.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So we can still talk, you know, and look at each a lot of eye contact on stage.
Yeah. Yeah. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Warren, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Close to Youngstown.
There's a big GM factory there or something.
Lordstown.
Warren is near
the plant that GM keeps shutting down.
Right.
I love them. They put my people out of work. Yeah, it's between Youngstown. Cleveland's not far. Pittsburgh's not far. So it was always sort of, you know, I grew up listening to Flat and Scruggs every morning before I went to school. And then at night, I listened to all the big rock station out of Cleveland. So yeah. I got to hear everything. And I was so confused because I really loved both kinds of music. But, you know, it was like bluegrass was not cool.
Yeah.
It was not cool for a long time.
Yeah.
Now it's cool. Now bluegrass is cool.
Why do you think it's cool now?
Well, it's been made cool by, you know, just the generational switch, you know, for one thing. Plus, like we were talking about Billy Strings, he's a phenomenal player. He's a great singer, great songwriter. He's all the things that you need to be in. He's got the management. He's got the booking agent. His ducks are in a row.
Absolutely.
Plus, he worked his ass off all through the pandemic.
Yeah.
Did drive-ins. Did wherever he could play.
Right.
You know? Told me he stopped the show once because two guys got off of the trunks of their cars and went and talked, and he stopped. He said, I can't play if you don't go back over there.
Wow, okay.
So, hats off to I love
and
Billy.
And he's strict. And he can play. I mean, that's like the bottom line is that he can play.
But he's playing bluegrass, man.
Yeah.
He's playing bluegrass, just like we were out there a while ago. A little, but he's brought his metal aspect to it, you know, and his dead aspect, and Jerry Garcia is alive on stage, and the light show is fantastic, and all these things that you have to have.
Well, what I like about what you're saying is that, and I'm somewhere in the middle of the spectrum. I like traditional, and I like what Billy Strings is doing, and I love what Green Sky's doing, and I like what the String Dutzers are doing, Railroad Earth and String Cheese. That you're not like I was going to say resentful. No, not resentful. Maybe not the best word, but you're sort of not so as circumspect about what's going on. You're happy that it's blossoming into, or are you happy
with
where it's going?
No,
because
definitely.
It really is the pop. You can't stop. No one can stop the unstoppable march of time, progression,
things
changing. And that's kind of evolution.
And you know?
That's the direction that it's going. You can't stop the direction that it's going now, right?
I sometimes feel like an old codger myself. You know, I start thinking, well, I'm not sure I like that or not. You know, and I got to think, wait a minute. You know, there's somebody that thought the same thing about me. Because I did as much to tear bluegrass apart than anybody did.
What's this guy doing copying Flat and Scruggs?
Yeah, now, but what I did so much to just tear it down, strengthen numbers. We just, you know, all these things that we did outside of bluegrass music to make it into a music that we thought was more, would broaden our audience, you know? So we started bringing, you know, we did all kinds of things to it. We tore it all up pieces. And then for me to be able to get this band back together though and go full on bluegrass. And if you don't like the Earls of Leicester, you don't know what bluegrass is. You know?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, then you don't like bluegrass.
Do you get the sense of those, like, are Billy fans coming to your shows and appreciating what you're doing?
Yeah.
Do you get the sense of that?
Oh,
so there is that going on.
People
are appreciating where Flat and Scruggs are coming from, where Jerry Douglas is coming from, where the Earls are coming from.
I'm, you know what I love so much about Billy is that he is making people go back and find out where his stuff came from. And that's from Flat and Scruggs and Bill Monroe and you know, and all these other people. He and I have heard the same people growing up our whole lives, but he grew up in a different place, in a different situation.
Yeah.
Totally different, really, you know. But he is doing, he's honoring bluegrass. He's not trying to change it. He's just playing his own music, but it's so bluegrass inspired. You know? And he's not afraid to say that.
I've heard you talk about the sense of the past and the promise of the future. I love that, just kind of a blanket statement for music in general, really. You have to honor who's been here before and have a respect and just sort of an excitement about where things are going.
Yeah, especially this festival. You know, there's this festival in Telluride we play every year, and Merlefest. And there are a few, like five different festivals all year that I just really love, because you can see any kind of act there, and there is a thread through the whole thing, but it's not necessarily, it's not the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, and it's beautiful. I think all this music, it has to evolve. It's going to continue to evolve, but I just want everybody to remember to, and once in a while, go back through your record collection or whatever you've got, your tapes, your CDs, any recordings, and find out where the fountain was, you know? Found out where this stuff came up.
Yeah. Who was responsible for you kind of feeling the way that you do? Yeah. Because people, you know, music gets into your head and they're influenced in a particular way.
Josh Graves is a dobro player, the guy that I really learned everything from, who played with Vladan Scruggs, and he played fast, he played slow, he played really bluesy.
Yeah.
You know, and plus I had Eric Clapton in my head at the same time. So it's like,
nice.
So I could try to marry it all, but not in this band. In this band, I am strictly Josh Graves, and I try not to go out of character.
Interesting. You have to force yourself not to go and rock out too hard.
Oh, and I just feel like I'm 6 or 7 years old every time I get in this band and get in the middle of that. You know, it's like, wow.
Nice. I can feel your excitement. It's awesome, man. You're getting a great vibe about you. Just like enthusiastic. You came in here laughing. We were completely joking about things that we're not going to talk about right now.
Well, we got to have those things.
You got to have the scatological sense of humor from time to time.
I am very happy. I'm very happy. That's awesome. I love music, and I love that all these people can come together in a place like this for music.
That's
for
fantastic. Music. Me too, man. Me too.
I would ever ask for.
Tell me about the dobro for a minute.
Yeah.
It's one of my fucking favorite instruments of all time. I come from like a classic rock background. I really love that. It's the rock. We were joking before. I was like, dude, you're playing the rock instrument of bluegrass. There's just that it replicates the wah-wah and the sliding up and down.
It's so vocal. It's a vocal instrument.
Thank you. Yeah.
It sounds like the voice. I mean, I use it a lot of times, like with Alison Krauss, I'll use it as a ghost her vocal, or something like that. And it's just got so many. I haven't really run into any situation yet myself that I can't feel like I at least took a pretty good bite out of what I was trying to eat there, you know. So like any kind of music that I get into, I don't feel like I've ever hit the wall yet with what that instrument can do. And it's a new instrument in the scheme of things.
Is it?
Well, 1928 was the first dobro.
Oh, okay. You know,
the guitars have been going on for
lay a little bit of history. Yeah, for sure. Since someone had two pegs and could put a string in between them.
Right. That's it. Play the porch.
Right. Exactly. But it's the something you said before, you haven't reached the bottom of the dobro's capabilities.
No,
have you reached the bottom of other instrument capabilities?
No. I don't pay as much attention to them as I do to what I'm trying to make. I have this sound that the dobro can make, and I haven't heard it yet. So I'm still chasing it.
You have the sound in your head?
I have a sound in my head. And
you're still chasing that sound.
It's huge.
What do you think is going to happen when you do achieve that sound, and do you want to achieve that sound?
I do want to achieve that.
Because you know what they say about Nirvana? Once you figure it all out, it's all over.
Yeah, well, then it'll be all over, because I'm not going to stop until I find that sound.
I'm not saying that's correct, brother, and I hope you don't stop.
No, it doesn't enter into it for me. I just, boy, this is a sound that I want to hear, and I'm digging for it all the time. Yeah. And, you know, I don't do it in this situation with the Earls, but every other thing that I do with my band or with, you know, different people, I'm always looking for, when I'm all alone, I'm looking for this dobro sound that I haven't gotten it yet. I'm going to find out how.
Is it about effects and the way you're lining them up, or what is it?
It's just the making the instrument so piano-like.
Hmm.
Huge, you know, like for it to have the sonic spectrum that a piano would have.
Interesting.
Really high to really, really low.
Wow.
So I guess it's the low thing that I'm really after. I really want it to be really low, sub low.
Do you tune down, like do that? That's a drop D,
that
right?
Helps.
But that's only like one full step, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
Oh. It drop D for me. I have a thing on my guitar, on my usual guitar, that I tune in G, an open G, and then I have a thing called a hip shot that I can throw, and that throws me into drop D.
Drops you don't have to mess around with.
No, it's mechanical.
Oh, you've got a little like strings. Motor.
I mean, it's not a motor either. It's a
wow, that's fascinating.
Oh yeah, hip shot. It's called the Trilogy hip shot.
It reminds me. I'm a big cycling fan. It reminds me cycling. They have not just the drop analogy, but there's a dropper post where you can just hit a thing and it'll change the height of your seat as you're riding according cool. to the terrain that you're trying to climb or. Beyond. So it's like having that kind of automatic, no, I need to be like in a completely different realm and sure has changed the whole ball game it for does. Myself and come yeah. out with something else.
It's exactly like that because weird it analogy, puts me in a totally different interval.
Right. You right, know? Right.
So I got
right.
all of a sudden I've got a high string that's way up there instead yeah. of just a D. I've got yeah. a D on the top, and it's up in a
it's because
a
of that shape. It's that ability to slide into other notes naturally that really just give it that vocal effect, kind of like what Derek Trucks is doing.
Oh yeah, Derek's
amazing. Let's talk. I really just briefly before I let you go, I want to talk about a buddy of yours, John Hyatt.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of John Hyatt from way back. I had Lily on the show actually yeah. and interviewed her, she's lovely and yeah. she's super talented.
Yeah, she's but, great.
Man,
I love her.
You've worked with him on a couple albums.
Yeah, I guess the first time I worked with him was on Circle Be Unbroken, Volume 2, that thing. And then I had forgotten. Somebody said, have you ever played with John Hyatt before? And I said, no, I don't think so. And they said, yes, you did. You know, that was on their record. So they asked me if I would like to produce a record for him. And I said, yeah. And they said, well, can we do it in RCAB? And I went, hell yeah. RCAB was the first real recording studio in Nashville.
Oh, amazing.
It was where it was Chet Atkins' playhouse.
And you'd never been there?
And I'd been there. I'd been there before with Chet Atkins and Buddy Emmons and all these other hot shots. And right. and just, you know, Chet would throw a party, but you'd bring your instrument and everybody just played. You didn't talk. You played.
Nice.
And so that studio was where he cut Elvis, where he cut the Everly Brothers, where he cut
Holy
Dolly Parton.
If
everyone in
so it's the Sun. It's the Sun Record Studio of Nashville.
It is, and yeah, it's yeah. still there. And so we cut the record in there, and it was during the pandemic, so they couldn't run tours through there because it's owned by the Country Music Hall of Fame, and they run tours through the place.
Oh, okay.
And so nobody could come in, so we had it all to ourselves, and we're all masked up during the recording.
Oh, right.
I couldn't let anybody in the recording in the booth, you know, and to listen back except for John.
Yeah.
We'd be masked up. It was nice, but we got to
I didn't know. Mean to bring up like you know, get PTSD on the whole pandemic thing, but it's, you know.
And I didn't get any PTSD from all of that. It was really it was real honest, you know?
Yeah.
There's one song that he on the record and he writes all this stuff and I don't know where it comes from, but he's had a wild life. He's had a tortured life. But he's doing better.
Good, well, I love his music and I love you guys.
Yeah. We had such a good time together. I hope we get to revisit that one of these days.
That'd be great. Well, you're super chill, Jerry. I love having you on the show, man.
It's nice. I could just sit here all day.
I know.
Just
I get you
comment on everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What do you? So, yeah. How does this media tent rate, basically?
Yeah, this one's rated. This is really like A+, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Comfy is pretty
cat.
Smooth.
Comfy I mean, cat. You can stay all afternoon.
I like it that we have a little compression on these microphones, and there's not, you know, we're not right beside. We are right beside.
We are
the stage,
right beside.
But
the
it's
these,
not
these
really
are, these
hindering
great.
The conversation.
No. No, it's good enough in the background just to let them know that you're at a festival.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Sounds dope.
We're definitely at a festival. Yeah.
Family man, you got kids? What's
I have
what's
kids, yeah. My wife is actually with me around here someplace.
Uh-huh.
And I have, yeah,
How old are
I
your
have
kids?
Four kids.
Grandkids?
I have grandkids now, yeah.
How many?
And, I mean.
How many you got?
I've got five grandkids. I've got four children. And five grandchildren, and I've heard my daughter-in-law and one of my daughters also plotting for the next two. So, the horse is out of the barn.
Just keeps going.
I said those kids are going to have to trade names for Christmas. So I'm not buying them all something.
You can just start a gift collective, you know?
Like, it's a trade. You trade kids, next year, you can have this.
It's a good year to learn about re-gifting, basically, amongst the kids. It's a good life lesson for them. Kids, you're not getting anything. Go negotiate with your siblings.
That's right. That's right. Go talk to your cousins about all that stuff. Don't bother me.
Precisely.
Man, I've had a great time talking with you, man.
Yeah, well, it's been an honor to have you on the show, Jerry. You're one of the greats, man.
Ah, man, thank you. It's amazing. That's very nice.
And you just happen to play like my favorite bluegrass instrument too. What a coincidence.
Oh, it's a lesson every day.
Because you can get in there and get up in people's faces and just like make it rock, basically.
Yeah, it's really loud, but you don't hear it so loud, but they do. And it's like you can really torture people with it if you want to. I try not to do that.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love where Anders has gone with it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really...
Anders and I talk about it a lot. He's in Nashville, right outside Nashville now.
Oh, yeah.
I played on a record. He's doing a record. I played on it the other day.
Oh.
And I'll let him tell you about all of that stuff. But,
okay.
But yeah, Anders is great. I love him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so many other... Andy Hall. You know, all these... There are so many great dobro players. Now, when I started playing... There were four guys that I could name.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's like, I can't name everybody. It's like, it's so great.
Well,
for me, it's wonderful because I love the instrument.
Is that because your memory is good?
No, my memory is really good. I'm on it, man.
All right. I like you enough so that I can tease you a little bit. That's all. Because people are always teasing me. It's like, it's nice to have someone that might be a couple years older than me in this media tent, quite frankly, and have to like... Because I'm always the oldest person around.
Now. No, you have to go over and tell them, hey, you said that a while ago. You already asked that question.
Well, oh, man. And I love Andy Hall, too, I want to say also. I want to send some love to Andy.
I just did a record. I just produced a record. I've been actually doing it on a fellow named Chris Jacobs.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Baltimore.
Okay.
Rocker, just like, and we did this record, and I used... The Infamous String Dusters as the band for the record.
Oh, nice.
And then I'm adding other people.
Chris Jacobs.
He's a songwriter, kind of rock band guy from around Baltimore, but he's everywhere. I met him at Del Fest.
Oh, nice.
A few years ago. Uh-huh. And I love what he's doing. I mean, he's a great writer. Just amazing guy.
Right.
But we got a chance to do this record together. And the record company said, well, you know, what do you think about, you know, the String Dusters being the band. I went, I don't know, man. They got their own thing. But that got them in the studio. And oh, no, they're team players, man. They're great.
Oh, yeah.
We had a good time. It's going to be a wonderful record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I had Travis on the show.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's great.
Travis is a good guy, man.
They're really good.
And, yeah, they're all great guys.
Yeah,
They got their own thing. They just go different directions all the time.
I know, right?
But
right?
when it's time to play, when they come
together, wow. It is some kind of, like, orchestrated level of just mind fuckery, basically. They really push the limits of what can be done with that musical form.
Yeah, they don't see walls.
No.
Walls.
And what Pandolfi's doing on banjo is literally mind-blowing. I don't know why. There's something about the playing fewer notes. Like, you know how Garcia was always saying it's also like what you're not playing.
Yeah.
Sometimes that I think like Pandolfi's doing that a lot in particular.
That's the hardest thing to do. There is to not play.
Right.
That's the most tasteful thing you can do.
And Garcia always said, I want there to be one moment of absolute silence in a song during a show.
Yeah.
And he could achieve that. Look at Stella Blue, other things.
Oh, I know. It's right off the top of my head. Because sometimes you need the silence. The listener needs to be able to take in what they just heard. They need to digest it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe in that too. I believe in having some space, and I'll build it in. If I need to, but
it gets people. It's ironic because having silence gets people listening.
It does,
right? It gets them on the edge of their chair, like, oh, what's coming next?
All kinds of little things you can do. Like you can start out the record, but not start on one. Fade in, but not fade in on one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Brad Meldow song. That's called When It Rains.
Uh-huh.
Listen to that song. Brad Meldow.
M-E-L-D-A.
He's a jazz pianist who is just amazing.
Meldow. All right.
Yeah. Brad Meldow. And there's a song called When It Rains. Check it out. You start listening and you don't know where one is. And then all of a sudden the drums start and you go, you're instantly locked into place. And it's one of the most coolest, you know, sonic things I've ever heard.
Yeah,
and I love those kind of things, you know.
Breaking that level of expectation to music is also very important.
Surprise.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, man.
It's been an honor to have you on the show, man.
I've been having a good time, so My time will continue now.
Yeah.
It's
are you gonna are you gonna get up there with Billy?
No, I have to get out of town.
Sorry about that.
Unfortunately have to go. But I love him. He knows it.
Yeah, right on. Right on. All right.
Okay, man. Thanks a lot.
I hope our paths cross again, man.
I hope so too.
Thanks so much.
Soon.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Okay, that was a fun one with Jerry Douglas. What a fun human being. We had a great conversation. He's just a good dude who's down to chat, mostly about music, a lot about funny stuff. We had a funny exchange and conversation before this interview even started. You know, he just loves being in Newport, loves the music. He loves coming together in a place like this, is what he said about Newport. Of course, we did a little tech talk about guitars and amps because he was down for that. And, you know, of course, we talked about Billy Strings. This was the Billy Strings Newport Folk Festival. He closed down the whole festival playing on the Fort stage and the last set of the entire festival. But what he's done for bluegrass is that rediscovering of that genre and opening it up to those that are new to the genre that relate to Billy's music and that modernization of bluegrass. But also while what Billy is doing is also honoring traditional bluegrass as well. And Jerry talked about how Billy Strings fans are going back to traditional bluegrass, going back to the roots and learning more about all the artists that Billy Strings talks about. Of course, Flat and Scruggs, which is the legacy of Flat and Scruggs, is what is celebrated by the Earls of Leicester, the formation that Jerry Douglas brought to Newport Folk Festival, whose mission, sole mission, is to honor the legacy of the bluegrass legends of Flat and Scruggs. So we talked a lot about the future of bluegrass, as you heard, and you know, and also we talked about what his influences were. You know, he was honoring the tradition and the traditional bluegrass artists at the same time that he was listening to Eric Clapton, for example, while Billy Strings was honoring also the traditional bluegrass masters, but probably listening to metal and Black Sabbath and Grateful Dead. Loved having Jerry on the show. What a wonderful human being. And he's welcome back on the show anytime. Thanks again to Jerry Douglas for being on Roadcase. Coming up is Jupiter Bokanji of Jupiter and Aquas. Such an interesting and amazing individual whose live show is absolutely stunning. He grew up in Congo. His father was a diplomat, and Jupiter moved to East Berlin with his family and lived there throughout his school years. And remember, this is when this is Cold War Berlin. So there was an East Berlin and there was a West Berlin, and the West Berlin made up part of the West. And Jupiter would travel to West Berlin daily, and being exposed to music and having an interest in music really started developing his musical interests from a Western perspective as well. And when he returned to the Congo, he began to even gather more information about the music there, mixed it all up to create what is now known as Jupiter and Aquas. Their most recent album is from 2021. It's entitled Na Kozanga, which means going home. It's energetic, tight, fun, and danceable. They hit the quad stage just after this interview, and their Jupiter and Aquas live show is absolutely just amazing. Energetic, dancing, incredible pan-cultural vibes. Jupiter's up there just conducting this amazing celebration of life and music. During this interview, you'll also hear Harlem Gospel Travelers in the background, whom I also have on the show, and they're coming up right after Jupiter. Just to note, the interview with Jupiter was conducted in both French and English with the help of his manager, Francois, who operated as a translator for me. That was the first time I'd ever done one of these translation type of interviews. So, you know, just hang with me. Francois also knows a ton about Jupiter, obviously, and got a lot of information from Francois as well. Another to note is that I sort of flubbed the question of Aquas. That would have been more appropriate to ask at the beginning of the interview. And you'll learn about the definition of that when I ask it at the end. Hey, live interview. Shit happens. You know, we're all human. Glad you're along for this one. And I will be back after this to talk about more, a little bit more about Jupiter, close that down, and introduce Harlem Gospel Travelers. But first, here's Jupiter Bokanji.
Jupiter, bonjour.
Bienvenue à Newport.
Bonjour.
I'm going to try to speak French as much as possible. J'essaie de parler français un peu.
Oui.
I don't know if I'm going to succeed very much. I told them, I said my Italian is much better. Je parle italien mieux que je parle français.
Mais je comprends.
That doesn't help me here at all.
If you speak German, yes.
So I've got my translator, Francois, here.
Hello.
Is it easier if you have a mic of your own, maybe?
It's okay.
Yeah? Okay. Okay. So, Jupiter, I'm really intrigued by, you know, your background in the Congo. Tell me a little bit about your growing up in Congo and your experience in Berlin, which I understand was very important to you.
Donc, il est très intéressé par ton histoire et ton passé. Est-ce que tu peux lui raconter un peu de ton expérience au Congo et à Berlin?
Ben, je crois que c'est vraiment une très longue histoire s'il faut raconter cette expérience, mais en grosso modo, à Berlin, quand j'étais à Berlin, j'écoutais la musique, je l'ai toujours dit, occidentale. Une fois arrivé au Congo, j'ai commencé à écouter la musique traditionnelle, et c'est là où j'ai compris qu'il y avait cette musique qui s'est jouée en Occident. Ça venait de la musique traditionnelle de nos ancêtres. C'est un peu ça, l'expérience. Et après, j'ai dû faire autre chose à développer.
You got that all, François.
It's a long story. Well, I know you. I'm managing the band since 10 years, so I know the story. So I can.
Yeah, okay. I mean, mostly I can talk. I can just. You know.
So he said yes when he passed his childhood in East Berlin,
right?
And he was listening the music from Occident, from the West, yes.
Right. That was a time when that was pre-wall.
Yes, it was
avant de
casser les murs. Yeah, he passed the wall.
And he was going from East Berlin, West Berlin,
exactly.
Daily, quotidiennement.
Daily.
Wow.
Yeah, to go to the French school. And because his father was working in the embassy, so he crossed the wall and he listened to the radio and listened Jackson 5, James Brown, and all this music, rock, funk from Occident. And when he came back in Congo, he just realized all the music he was listening during his childhood is come from traditional music, and all this rhythm are the same, but they are really, really natural.
Childhood in Congo, early childhood in Congo.
When he came back, After the time in East Berlin, he passed from got 8 to 17. 7 ans, t'es rentré? 17. He was in Berlin.
Okay.
And after.
And then he came back. Went back to the Congo.
Went back to Congo and start to listen the traditional music.
Yeah.
And he realized. It was the same groove, but without, you know, the production from Occident.
So that's a little bit of the background of where Jupiter's been and what his musical background is. And it's extremely interesting because what really stood out to me is the influence of the music when he went back to Congo. And as you talked about, understanding all those mixtures that were then being displayed in an interesting way when he went back. Would that be kind of a fair characterization? That he really understood the music when he went back to the Congo as being a true mixture of all these influences that he had heard in Europe.
Oui, c'est là que tu as réalisé quand tu étais au Congo l'influence de la musique, comment elle a voyagé, comment la musique africaine a influencé la musique en Europe.
Effectivement, c'est comme ça, mais tout en se documentant, c'est un peu l'histoire. C'est comme ça que j'ai compris d'abord que nous avons cassé 50 techniques, ainsi de suite, avec des rites. Et en plus, je suis allé dans l'histoire de l'esclavage, j'ai compris comment est-ce que la musique a voyagé. Tout ça, il fallait d'abord ce qu'on appelle le tide de... Hein, il fallait vraiment mûrir la tête pour accéder à cette silence de la profondeur.
Yes, he just he realized he starts to understand the riches of the country because they got like 400 ethnies and each ethnies got
400
and more than 400 ethnies in the Congo.
Ethnicities. A tough one.
Okay. And each of these ethnicities got a different rhythm, right. So he understand the music from everywhere, not traveling from this traditional music, and after with the slave also travel and mix with Occident world, mix with other instruments, and it became the music of the world now.
Ask him what it means to be at Newport. Quelle est la significance d'ici, d'être ici à Newport?
Pour toi, qu'est-ce que ça signifie d'être, de jouer à ce festival à Newport?
Ben, écoutez, Newport, c'est un festival légendaire. Donc, si tu passes par là, il faut vraiment montrer ce que tu as fait. Et surtout, donner un sens de la musique, apporter du nouveau, parce que c'est historique, ce festival.
It's a legendary festival, so he knows it's one of the first legendary festival in US. So he say when you're here, you have to perform really good, and you have to bring something new. You don't just do the other thing. You have to bring
new
something
or new. Unique.
Unique.
What does he? What? Are, oh, do you want to?
Je disais, il faut pas passer inaperçu ici.
I don't know how to say that. It's you don't have to be transparent. Yeah, you have to mark to you have to be exceptional when you play here.
When you play here, you feel that.
If feel you don't. Yeah, you have to be strong.
Right. Right. Okay. What are some of the things that you remember? What has impacted you? What are the things that are the most important and significant that you know about Newport folk historically?
Qu'est-ce qui est pour toi le plus significant à part dans ce festival? Qu'est-ce qui t'impacte?
Ce qui m'impacte, c'est d'abord son histoire. C'est son histoire. Et surtout, ma présence dans cette histoire. Je suis en train de graver un CV, quoi, un CV. Tu comprends ce que je veux dire? Voilà, donc c'est un impact.
It's a history about the festival really really strong, and to be here, to be honored to be here, and make to be part of this history.
Part of the history.
It's cool.
Yeah. Et nous ouvrons aussi la porte pour de nouvelles générations parce que nous sommes la nouvelle porte.
And we open the door for the next generation.
The new generation. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Who are some of the artists that you're looking forward to seeing of that new generation here? Have you seen anything here yet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Est-ce que tu as vu quelque chose ici de la future génération?
C'est moi qui va amener plutôt cette future génération à travers ma présence ici.
He bring in the future the next generation of musicians from Congo with his presence here and opening in US his music. He want bring and open the door to the next band in Kinshasa playing another music
in Kinshasa for time here, opening those doors for other musicians from the Congo to that it's possible
because it's not
here.
Easy to go out
so he's a true trailblazer. I don't know how to say that. True. Someone that's out in front of the wave, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody that's setting.
Since the beginning of his career, Jupiter is always saying, I'm just opening the door. I'm just in the transmission about making a music in Congo very different from the rumba.
Yeah, yeah. New album, Nakazonga.
The nouvel album, Nakazonga.
I got a big smile. Sourise. which is translated Going Home. It's the third album. You recorded it in New Orleans. Is that true? Or there was the Preservation Hall Jazz Horns New Orleans.
Yes, we did. We share a song with New Preservation Hall.
Right.
And last time when we play here, we share also a song with Preservation Hall.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It was fun here on the tent. And but the album was made in Los Angeles. Okay. With Mario Caldato, with a producer of Beastie Boys, and a lot of artists from Brazil.
Uh-huh.
And because we play a different time with Preservation Hall and we make very friends.
Yeah.
We play 2 times in New Orleans Jazz Fest and play 2 times in Preservation
Hall. I'm a big fan of New Orleans and Preservation Hall. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. But I thought I read something in the material that said that there was a recording that was going on in New Orleans.
Yeah.
We share a song and they record
the band in New Orleans.
Okay.
And we play together. We try to play this song on the Preservation Hall, like an improvisation.
Yeah. The
we play inside.
There,
uh-huh. We record it the video, and after they did the record for the album.
Oh, nice.
And really, it's very nice. It's not a featuring like sending. It's featuring with a real connection.
Well, Francois, we're talking about the multicultural mixture of types of music.
On parle à propos de la musique multiculturelle.
New Orleans is a place like that where there's so many different musical cultures and ethnicities and different influences there. What does Jupiter think about New Orleans? What are some of his thoughts about that town? And are there similarities? Has he found that? Does he feel comfortable there?
Comment tu te sentais à la Nouvelle-Orléans? Parce que c'est un endroit qui est multiculturel où il y a vraiment un mélange des cultures et un mélange des musiques. Comment tu as senti ton expérience à la Nouvelle-Orléans?
Ben, je dirais que je me suis senti à l'aise parce que c'est comme si je me suis retrouvé avec des gens que j'avais perdu très très longtemps, avec les sons, tout ça. Donc je dirais que je me suis retrouvé dans mon village. C'est ma musique, c'est vraiment, c'était mon énergie.
I got that part, that it's like he feels like he's at home in his village.
Yeah,
there.
He feels at home music. Because for the people and the music, so he feels really at home, very, very easy.
Yeah, I love that. Tell me about the Bonnaroo set. I know a couple of people that were there at Bonnaroo, and it was just absolutely amazing. But to come to different festivals.
Well, we played this year at Coachella, at Bonnaroo, at Electric
Forest.
Blowing
people's minds with this amazing, like, African psych. It's incredible.
It's fun because on this kind of festival, people not really know the band and we did a big tour 5 years ago before the COVID.
Yeah.
We were in the playlist of Barack Obama and this.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
And album in the year in the New York Times.
Right.
And but we still very very.
You did the Tiny Desk as well.
You did the
so
Tiny
people
Desk.
People are listening. KXP. Go check out that Tiny Desk. Is that band here with you today?
Sorry,
is that same band here with you today?
It's the same band, and
is the drummer still wearing the Mexican wrestling mask?
Exactly. but yes, people. We don't have so much follower, but people. The experience in life is always crazy, and
you don't have that much
follower on the social networks. So people are not going to the festival. We are to see Jupiter, not always, you know. And especially in a big festival like Bonnaroo or Coachella, it's really a surprise for everybody.
Right.
And you start the show, and at the end of the show, everybody's dancing. Everybody says it's the highlight of the weekend. It's the
fantastic.
Best set.
What kind of feedback were you? Were you getting that kind of feedback from Bonnaroo recently?
It's always this kind of feedback. It's for some of the people. It's a very good surprise to see a different music.
It's like we didn't know this.
They didn't
know. We started listening to it, and then they're telling all their friends,
It's always a challenge for us because we say we have to catch all the audience because they are coming to see a headliner and we arrive and they follow us.
Yeah, totally, totally. And this album's out now.
Nakozonga, yes, it's out, and we are working on the next album.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, is that forthcoming? That's his third album, Nakozonga.
The next album after Nakozonga?
Yeah.
No, we did some EP of remix in Mexico and Brazil.
Cool.
And now we have to work on the new album. We start.
And when's that coming out?
On the next winter, I think.
Next winter. Yeah. 2024. This winter? No. Now we're in 2025.
Yeah, time to finish. No, this 2024.
Oh, okay. No rush.
It's before the summer of 2024.
Plenty of time. Okay, so I'm so excited for you guys to wow this crowd here. Thank you very much for being here. It's a true honor. And you're going to be at the Quad stage right over here. I can't wait for it. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And enjoy your time here, man. Thanks so much for sitting down with me for a few minutes, giving me kind of the rundown on Jupiter and AquaWest. What I should have asked was, like, explain a little bit of AquaWest and what that means. It's like a nourishment for the soul. And I should have, I was remiss to not have started with that, and I apologize, but... No, it's so it's so beautiful.
Tu peux parler un petit peu de pourquoi ça s'appelle AquaWest?
Oui, effectivement, parce que
well, qu'est-ce que vous voulez dire AquaWest première?
AquaWest ça veut dire à manger.
What does that mean first off? Yeah.
AquaWest ça veut dire à manger.
AquaWest mean food
in his language, native language.
Dans quelle langue?
En langue de Kimbunda, in the dialect of Congo.
The dialect, Congo, the dialect, yeah. His dialect in Congo.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the
so
dialects.
That's AquaWest. All right.
Et pourquoi à manger? Parce que nous sommes en train de manger. Il y a l'haricot, il y a le riz, il y a la bouffe. Tout le monde mange. C'est-à-dire, nous on fait manger ça à part, dans la musique, quoi. On fait manger la nourriture spirituelle dans la musique.
The music to eat.
It's the music to eat, and yes. It's also spiritual. Food.
Yeah.
It's not only the food, but it's music is like a sauce, and we are some ingredients, and we give the food to everybody.
That's absolutely beautiful.
Mais aussi, il y avait une histoire de nourriture pour tes répétitions.
Parce que à l'époque, chaque répétition, après la répétition, on mangeait. Et c'est pour ça donc on mange.
What did you ask him, François?
I just asked him because there a story about the name of the band in and the rehearsal of the band.
Yeah.
And it's after the rehearsal. He offered food, and at the beginning it was the best way to be sure you have musician working at the rehearsal. It's to give the food.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just put a food platter out. That works. That translates to any country. Tous les pays.
Dans tous les pays, ça marche.
Right. Right.
S'ils mangent pas, ils vont pas venir à la répétition. Ils savent qu'après la répétition, il y aura la bouffe.
Yeah, if you can't eat, you can't think, and you can't play, is what he's saying.
Yeah, if there's no food, nobody comes to the rehearsal.
Yeah, totally. Now we're getting down to the real stuff now. Food, music, life, and Jupiter and AquaWest. Thanks so much for being here, my friend.
Merci,
merci beaucoup.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Jupiter Bokanji, and of course his translator, Francois. Just an amazing human being, amazing musical background, so interesting. I hope it wasn't too awkward to listen to me translate or to listen to Francois and the translation and everything. And also, it was also a little funny to me that every time I try to speak my broken French to Jupiter, Francois would translate my bad French into good French. So don't think I didn't notice that. Hey, I have no pride in my foreign language speaking. I speak decent Italian, and then, French I try. So Jupiter, super interesting, amazing background, like I talked about at the beginning, how he grew up in the Congo, lived in East Berlin, traveled to West Berlin daily, was influenced by so many different Western music and went back to the Congo and mixed that all up to become Jupiter and AquaWest. I talked about how each ethnicity in the Congo has a different rhythm, which is just staggering and amazing, and really had a huge impact on what Jupiter and AquaWest sound like. Of course, we talked about AquaWest as well at the end. Its music is the food to eat. Jupiter said, we cook it up and we make it available to everybody. And then he was joking around about how he's having the food on the table for rehearsal and in the studio for the musicians in the band. And that's a good way to keep everybody around, which is absolutely true. Really enjoyed having Jupiter on the show. Their latest album is Na Kozanga from 2021. You can check out more information about Jupiter and AquaWest and their tour dates on their website. Thanks so much to Jupiter for being here. Next up is Harlem Gospel Travelers, Ifedayo Gatling, George Mirage, and Dennis Bailey. Harlem Gospel Travelers were born out of a music education program founded by Eli Paperboy Reed, noted producer and artist who produced the Harlem Gospel Travelers 2022 album, Look Up. Just an amazing show. Their brand of gospel embodies the spirit and the joy of gospel music. You don't have to be a believer. They're believers. I'm not a believer, but it makes you feel something. It doesn't matter what you believe in. You've got to feel something, like Ifedayo says. It's just absolutely energetic, high energy gospel and super soulful at the same time. There's just an amazing energy exchange that goes on. They played an amazing early Sunday morning. We went to church early Sunday morning at the Quad Stage with Harlem Gospel Travelers. Just an amazing, energetic set. And by the third song, everyone's up on their feet, just dancing, clapping, and just absolutely feeling it with the band. They got a bunch of tour dates. I really suggest you go out and see Harlem Gospel Travelers. They're touring in September and October. You can find out more information on their website. Really psyched to have Harlem Gospel Travelers here. So here's Ifedayo, George, and Dennis. Ifedayo, Dennis, George, Harlem Gospel Travelers.
Yes.
How are you all?
We're good. We're happy to be here.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm happy to be here, too. I was really happy to see that set this morning. That was absolutely enthralling. You had everybody on their feet just doing the thing, doing the, you know, Sunday morning service, I guess it was, right?
Thank you so much. We had a great time. We just went on stage and did our thing, and we just had a good time with each other and had a good time with the audience.
That's fantastic.
We're just so glad that everybody had a great time and was vibing out with us. It was good.
Yeah, totally. I kind of have the feeling that your shows are kind of across the board like that, right? Yeah, George?
They've been crazy lately.
It always starts off like the first song, two songs, everybody's like, what are they about to give us?
What's going on here?
And by the third song, they're like, oh, we like
this. By that third song, they're like, yeah.
Right, right. So you find that it like takes this minute to warm up people. Oh, that's really cool.
Soon they won't need to warm up. They'll know once,
right,
by the next time we come.
Oh, yeah. So the next, you can tell like, oh, they've been to the show before. Like, let's go right now. Right. There's no waiting, everybody.
No.
You can hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you.
Okay. Because I can't yell into. Oh, good. All right. Because I can't yell into this thing. But yeah. Okay. So Harlem Gospel Travelers, tell me a little bit about the name and what it evokes for you and what we're all about.
So myself and George, this whole thing started at a foundation in Harlem, but we're not actually from Harlem. So we were all traveling to Harlem to create music and that's basically how this whole thing started. So Harlem Gospel and Travelers, we travel and we share the news of the gospel and we live people's spirits.
Well, let's talk about the news of the gospel. Let's talk about that foundation. What is the foundation? What is that? Tell me about that.
You know, so we were just
brought you to that took you to Harlem.
Well, myself and George, we met at a choir in Harlem. That's what it was. It was just a choir.
Okay. I mean, just a choir. It sounds like there was a lot of cool stuff going on.
Birthed out of that choir was this group.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that.
Right.
Eli Paperboy Reed became a teacher, and that's how he met Thomas, and that's how I got a part of it, and everything. The rest is history from there.
Right. And it's a lot about gospel. Is it religious for you? Is it musical for you? What is it all? Is that all just kind of one melding of energies for?
It's definitely an embodiment of both, though, you know.
Yeah.
It's the music at the end of the day. I believe in God. I believe there's a higher power. I believe that, you know, that we're meant to do greater things. And, you know, I believe with my voice and through the music that we're able to accomplish connecting with other people and lifting spirits. And like you said, we bring in Sunday service to the Newport Festival.
Yeah,
so, you know,
it's fantastic.
It's an amazing experience. Well,
one of my favorite pieces of music is Pastor T.L. Barrett from Chicago. I don't know if you're familiar with this. It's from the 70s. It's amazing. But it's a little different. It's like a big choir and they're playing, like the band's playing funk and the choir's singing along. If you're not familiar.
We are.
Yeah, okay.
You'll hear us do some of him, actually.
Oh, really?
Coming soon.
I absolutely love it. I love it. I'm not a churchgoer, but I love the music. And I've talked. You don't have to be, right?
I was going to say that's the thing with us is that with our message.
I mean, with all due respect, I guess, you know, it's like everyone's got their thing. Like, this is church for me.
Right.
Yeah.
With our message, we use gospel as our outlet because we are believers, but we just want people to know that there is better. You know, we have a general message of just uplifting and letting people know that there's a brighter side and letting people know that you can be yourself and that you can be loved and that somebody's there for you even when you feel like you're alone.
Yeah, and that's just a great way of going about life. It's a, you know, from of all beliefs or whatever you want to, it's the message, it's the energy, it's the vision. It's why we're all here. It's why performers are performing. It's what we're all digging on, really, you know? That's what brings everybody together, and it's wonderful. But there's a special energy to gospel. Why is that?
It's
one of those amazing, like Road Case, we talk about live performance quite a bit and the energy that's there. So I really love that spirit and energy. Like, talk to me about why is it gospel is just raucous and amazing and so energetic and full of life.
It really is the spirit. It's for us the Holy Spirit, but it's joy. That's what, when you sing gospel music, when you hear gospel music, even if it's going to invoke some type of emotion, even if you're happy, if you want to cry, that's what gospel music does. So no matter, even if you don't believe in God or not,
yeah,
it makes you feel something. Even today, we don't know who believes in God or if they don't. And I said it on the stage. I said, it doesn't matter what you believe in. It's about feeling what we're giving to you. And that's what it is. When you hear gospel music, you got to feel something.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I do love that aspect. You're hearing me, right? You're hearing me, right? Okay, I just keep saying that to George because he's down on the end and he doesn't have a headset.
It's okay.
Sorry. All right, good. Yeah, it's that energy. It's like knowing what is going to be the feel of that show. It seems like it's energy that we're going to really, we're really putting it out there. It's kind of like, it's like in a different way than like a rock show. And which is a simplistic statement because, of course, it's different than a rock show. But it's something about the way that energy is presented, I think.
It's funk. You know, that's the type of music it is. It's gospel, but it's soulful. You know, it's going to make you tap your leg. It's going to make you move a shoulder or something like that. Like, you're going
right.
to feel something. That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, there are some bands that'll play, and it's like, well, if the hold the mic for the man. that, you know, it's kind of like they give the audience the responsibility of giving back that energy. But I know that in gospel, it's like the performers on stage are going to put that hard energy out there and then see what comes back.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of there's like different levels of energy exchange, and there's different like bullet points. We're going to do this one first. We're going to throw out the energy, see if the audience. So it's kind of like it happens in a different order. Does that make sense at all, George?
Does that make sense? Oh yeah, absolutely. It's crazy to see even the non-believers, like you said, you know, the people that don't believe in God, get up and
the
start
heathens
clapping
among us.
I was gonna say they over here hallelujah. They don't even believe in what they're saying right now, but it's just because they see us having such a good time and the music feels good.
You get that feeling in your belly.
You gotta feel something, and when they feel, we feel. So we give 1,000% energy when we see them go crazy on through the audience.
Yeah, totally. What's it feel like to be at Newport? Have you guys been here? Have you been here before? Dennis doesn't want to say. Dennis is going to say a couple words on this one. Have you been to Newport before? Any of you been here?
I've never been to Newport. No.
Uh huh.
I've never been to Newport.
Oh, I've never been to Newport.
Yeah. No. Yeah. First timer. So what's your impression here?
Small town, but the money long. It seems like a very wealthy, prosperous area.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, Newport. Have you seen the mansions over here in the water?
Dude.
Like, it's insane. Right? Yeah.
I don't know what to do with it.
I mean, it's like old money, like, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Great Gatsby kind of level stuff.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, that's not... Okay, but Newport Folk Festival. Let's start. Like, how do you feel about that? That's what I'm... That's, by the way, that's what I meant.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all good.
this is the wildest thing I've ever been to.
Mm.
I've never seen a festival like this in my... Like, I've never experienced a festival like this in my life. So.
Right.
This is dope. Mm-hmm. It's truly a blessing.
Mm-hmm. What surprised you about... Did anything surprise you about being up on the stage today?
Nothing surprising. What was really amazing was, you know, especially with us, you go out there and you're like, you know what you do, and you're just going to give it your all and hope for the best. And so when people do respond and stuff like that, like... Don't get me wrong. I'm going to go out there and I'm like, I'm going to make you stand on your feet. But when people actually do stand on their feet, you're like, oh my God. Like, well, thank you, Jesus. I'm glad it's working. So, you know, when we're up there and we're performing to be honest, we just be having fun as friends. And so when we turn out and we all look at the audience and people are standing up and going crazy, it's like, it's not surprising, but it definitely is a moment where we're like, all right, we're doing our job today. We everything's going all right. But what I
so there's like a kind of like an iffy moment where you're not really sure if it's
again,
gonna
it's the
on.
First two songs. The first two songs, you're like, all right, that third song, you're like,
how's this
we
gonna
got
go?
It. We got it.
Right.
You know, once you got them, we don't let them go.
I saw the set and I kind of have the feeling that it never happens, goes the other way. By the third song, you're always getting everybody involved. Well, there has been a, has there been
jump,
a?
I will jump down off the stage and roll on the grass before we get past the third song. And I wish that I'll take off the shoes and roll down. We getting dirty today. No, you go listen. When you come and see the Harlem Gospel Travelers, you're going to get your money's worth, okay?
You hear that, people? 100% okay. Guaranteed. And I believe you, too. I mean, I saw you out there, you know, and it's hard to deny that energy. We were talking about the energy before, so, of course, mine was kind of a rhetorical question. What happens if by the third song people aren't on their feet? It's just not happening. They're just up. Everyone's up.
I'm telling you, that's the Holy Ghost.
It's undeniable. It's not like, you know, there's no asses in the seats in this... You know, at least from a sitting down perspective. What's that? George, what? What do you want to add? Come on, man.
Well, I said it's like clockwork. It's like by the third song, every time everybody's like, all right, it's
I know,
time
right?
To,
all right?
It's time to get up.
I'm a big fan of Grateful Dead and was always like the third song. You knew like that it was going to be that show. You know, it's a little different, but still. Where'd you all grow up?
Staten Island, New York.
Oh.
Long Island, New York.
Oh, so.
I was a military rat. I grew up everywhere.
Oh, everywhere. Yeah. All right. Staten Island. Do you watch What We Do in the Shadows? There's a movie. There's a show, What We Do in the Shadows. It's about a vampire. It's a mockumentary about vampires that live in Staten Island. No.
I didn't know about it. I don't want to know about it. I'll leave the vampires right where they are.
Keep that collar up. Keep that collar up.
Oh, is that a hot button topic?
Yeah. You don't do the spooks for me. No, that's all right.
Like, ooga booga.
Oh, shit. Well, it's great. Like, it's got to be. Is it a feeling of accomplishment to come here and like rock a folk fest audience?
It feels amazing. Like, this entire year of touring has been awesome. And we have been waiting for this moment to get here to Newport. Mm. And so it felt like every show that we accomplished, it was as if we were earning a... It's like being a Boy Scout, kind of. It's like you earn your little badges, and every gig we did, it was like we earned a badge, and we got here, and we was proud with our badges all up, ready to grab. Right. I'm telling you, we went on there, and we really just had a good time. And look, I got my badges.
You got your badges. Bedazzled badges. I don't know. Right on.
Yeah.
That's excellent. That's excellent. So, You got a new album out, Look Up.
Yep.
Yeah. You got to look up.
Listen, that's the message. I wrote most of the songs on the album during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so the whole entire album is just a message of allowing people to know, even in your darkest moments, that there's a brighter side to it. And so that's our entire message as a group. That's our message always, is to allow people to know that there's better and to pull anybody out of their dark place. I always say that we want to be the group that you listen to when you feel like you can't go on. And we want to be the group that you listen to when you feel like I'm on top of the world.
Yeah. So you want to be an inspiration, sort of a means of inspiration for people, as well as an ability to celebrate with them.
We are an inspiration. I speak life into that.
Right on. Now I'm getting we're in the third song now.
I'm telling you what, I got warmed up now.
Uh-oh. But I'm afraid our time's up. So let's do an encore. Dennis, what do you got to add? What was a favorite place? What was your favorite city growing up since you were the Army brat?
My favorite place to be was Maryland in the DMV area. I grew up.
What's DMV? Delaware, Maryland, Virginia.
Maryland, Virginia.
My oldest, 26, she lives in D.C. I'm in D.C. all the time. I love it there. Is that included in that, too? The DMV, D.C.?
It depends on who you are.
All right. Why'd you like that area?
Food, people. Right it's on. Where I like became who I am. That's where I spent my adolescent years of running around and doing a bunch of stuff.
It's a crab cake thing. It's a crab cake thing, I guess. I don't know.
Actually, I've never had crab.
Good for you. I'm glad you said that.
We're going to fix that.
And just going back to the beginning, y'all met at the foundation.
I met Dennis in college. We went to school at AMDA, American Musical Dramatic Academy. Shout out to y'all.
Right on.
So yeah, we met there. And then originally there was like originally there was 8, then we went down to 4. And then as we were going on, members decided they wanted to leave. And so I asked Dennis, I said, would you join the group?
Uh-huh.
And he came, and we've been stuck with him ever since. And we think we're going to keep
him. Yeah, really.
Think we're going to keep
despite him. Despite him, like, talking over everybody. I mean, come on, Dennis. Would you, like, keep it under control?
Sorry, man. Sorry.
George, so how'd you meet everyone else?
Well, yeah, me and Thomas met, Ifedayo met in the foundation. We were singing for backgrounds for like at least 2-3 years before he went off to college. Because Thomas and Dennis are the youngins of the group. I'm the oldest. So, I was already finished with school. So he was just going into college.
Right.
And that's how he met Dennis. And he was like, you know, I have this friend in college. We need a member. He can sing. Do you trust me? I said, yeah. I trust you. Let's do it.
Great.
So the rest is history. I mean, you know.
It's fantastic.
We compliment each other. Well, like, yeah, I'm really cool, fantastic, calm, and collected. He's Mr. Chill, and he's the fire. He's the firecracker over here.
Right. You need a crazy person in every band.
I'm not crazy.
Well, I mean, like, theoretically, you know, in quotes.
That's what crazy
I'm
people
certified.
Say.
Certified.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Certified. Exactly. you're all awesome. This is really cool. So what's on tap for rest of the year, like next little bit? What are you guys looking forward to?
We are going to be doing a couple of shows with our friend Eli Paperboy Reed. We're going to be doing a joint tour.
Who produced the Look Up.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We're going to be doing a battle royale. So we're going to be going head to head.
Uh-oh. So what does
pick
that
your
mean?
Pick your players. No, I'm joking.
Well, what does
so
that
basically
mean?
What's going to happen is we're going to go, we're going to do our set, and then you're going to get to see Eli do his set. And then we'll come out at the end. We're going to do some songs together and tear it up. I'm telling you, that roof better be ready.
I thought you said, like, you're going to have the audience, like, vote on who they liked best.
Imagine? No.
You can leave 2 cards, like a 1 or a 2 or a blue or a black card on the seats, and then they hold them up. Like, who liked who? I don't know.
That'd be dope.
No. I don't know. Just dream. Just,
you know who wins?
You feel free to use the idea, you know. Anyway, yeah, just
it's
let me
a battle
know.
Royale, but the audience wins. They win good vocals.
Yeah. Everyone wins when you go to a Harlem Gospel Traveler show, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah. Amen. I'll give it an amen. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so
much. I'm excited for you all and what you're doing and really truly love what you do, really. I appreciate you so much and bringing those gospel vibes in such an amazing way. I mean, just a amazing live show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Okay, that was Harlem Gospel Travelers, Ifedayo Gatling, George Mirage, and Dennis Bailey. So psyched to have talked to them and had them on the show. Ifedayo's spirit is just absolutely infectious. They love their role as a performer. They really get up there and completely give it their all. There's just an absolute pure joy in being up there. And like Ifedayo said, if the people aren't going to get out of the seats, they're going to get up and they will slap them and have them put in that energy. And it is, I can attest to that as well. People were out of their seats, screaming, clapping along, just having an amazing time. Newport was a badge of honor for the Harlem Gospel Travelers, and they absolutely crush it. They play a lot of festivals and they rock them all. They got a bunch of tour dates. Please go see them. Go to their website, Harlem Gospel Travelers website. They'll be playing a couple shows also with Eli Paperboy Reed, their friend and the producer of their most recent 2022 album, Look Up. Thanks again to Ifedayo, George, and Dennis for being here. So this concludes part 4 of this 5-part series of in-person interviews I did at Newport. Special shout out out to all the artists who joined me on the couch for this episode. Mariba, Jerry Douglas with his formation, the Earls of Leicester, Jupiter Bokanji of Jupiter and Aquas, and the Harlem Gospel Travelers, Ifedayo Gatling, George Mirage, and Dennis Bailey. Stay tuned to Roadcase for part 5 with more amazing artists coming up next. And I want to thank you all for being here for this episode of Roadcase.
thanks again so much for listening. And I'd like to encourage everyone to get involved with Roadcase. You can do so in a number of different ways. You can email me at info@roadcasepod.com with questions, comments, and even suggestions for guests. Or you can follow us on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We're at Roadcase Pod. And we have a YouTube channel called Roadcase Podcast. And of course, you can subscribe to this podcast on your favorite listening platform. And if you could please rate and review the podcast while you're there, that would be great. So I want to thank Waltzer for this awesome theme music that we have. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to Roadcase. We have a lot of great episodes coming up, so I'll see you on down the road.